let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Five-star reviews for the inspiring story about a life journey of struggles and success. It's the life and story of One-Eyed Joe Ed Smith, an autobiography. A kid from Everett, Massachusetts, who joined the Army in the early 60s, served in Korea, Asia, and West Germany, Joe Ed Smith has always believed in service above self. A college degree, a dedication to his town, an impressive career and life, and now Joe Edward Smith shares it in the life and story of One-Eyed Joe Smith, an autobiography. And he's with us on This Week in America. Joe Ed, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Glad to be with you, Rick.
I am so excited you're going to be here and talk about this amazing life that you've had, a life, as I said in the beginning, dedicated to service, to your community, to your country. Let's start, first of all, with the inspiration to write the book. When did you decide, you know, I think I would like to share this story and motivate and help other people? What was the inspiration for writing this story?
Well, the inspiration began, about 5 years ago, and I wanted to write the story about the life and story of myself and share it with my community, with my family, and with anyone who might be of interest, my veteran friends and church members, and et cetera.
Yeah, you've touched so many people in so many different groups as you're talking about. Our guest on the program is Joe Edward Smith. The book is The Life and Story of One-Eyed Joe Ed Smith. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly, get information on Joe Ed's book. Why did you wait so long to write this book? Talk about the decision to do it now rather than maybe 20 or 30 years ago. Why now?
Well, I'm retired now, and I spent my last 30-odd years in state service as a civil engineer. And as I say, I'm retired now, but I've lost vision in one eye, and I wanted to be able to read the thing myself, and I wanted to be able to direct the story as best I could, but I wanted basically to share the story. And I thought this was as good a time as any.
Well, it really is.
To finish it.
Well, yeah, especially with everything going on in the world now, it's nice to read about somebody who had some obstacles in his life to overcome, did that so successfully, and has made a life out of giving back to the people in his life, the people in his community. Tell us a little bit about growing up, which you started your growing up process in Everett. What was your childhood like? What were your parents like? What did they expect of you?
Well, my parents were Susan and Noah Smith, and they were from South Carolina. They came to Everett back in the 40s, and they decided that Everett was Massachusetts was a great place to raise their kids. They had eight kids when they left Everett, and 10 years later, and we were also expected to know certain things about life. One of the things is they wanted us to know that and have a definition for what is God. They wanted you to know what had a definition of what is the law. And they wanted you to know that you had to operate on something called mutual respect. In order to get along with the other guy or the other kids in the neighborhood, the parents, you had to believe that if you respected them, they would in turn respect you.
You know, I love reading about that, the early days, and that what your parents instilled in you. And again, that's a lesson that is so relevant today, that if you have respect, it can get you through life and do it so successfully. I want to talk about moving out of Everett. It happened at an early age. This was not just a normal move. Talk about why the family had to move out of Everett.
Well, Our closest relatives were the Singletons, and the Singletons had a fire, and that was around 1949-50. And then subsequently, we had a fire. And so the parents decided that we would move on to Boston. Everett was mostly in an Italian neighborhood, but
yes.
There was, of course, Jewish people, and there was Latvians, Lithuanians, and Estonians, the Baltic people, and Polish people, but it was basically an Italian town, and we felt we'd try our luck with the Irish in Boston.
How did that work? What was that transition like going from Everett, where you were comfortable growing up? Those were your roots at a very young age there. Going to Boston, how different was that for you?
Well, in Everett, of course, you had the kids, and you had the you had what they call fair fights. In other words, one kid couldn't murder the other kid. You could give him a good beating, but but you couldn't do that. And of course, other parents were allowed to step in. You know, if they saw you doing something wrong, they could give you a good kick in the pants and then report you to the parents, your parents, and the teachers could do the same. You know, they had the way of discipline you at school, and then
yes.
You know, and then, of course, Boston. But when Everett was kind of ideal was Boston's school system. Boston had, in those days, what they called one of the best school systems in the world. And Everett tried to do something with respect to kindergarten, and of course, they found out that was a big expense. And they couldn't pull it off, free kindergarten. But Boston was their example as far as educating kids.
With us on the program is Joe Ed Smith. We're talking about his book, The Life and Story of One-Eyed Joe Ed Smith. You'll find the book available wherever books are sold, directed to Amazon. We've got that link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You decided to enlist in the Army, and I think you thought what a friend was going in with you. You ended up going in alone. Talk about your inspiration. Why did you feel it was important to enlist in the Army?
Well, I, of course, was in the Boy Scouts in Boston, and then I was a newspaper guy, so I kind of saw a lot of people, and I didn't know a lot about politics, but I knew something about civics. And I always felt that going into the service was something I was going to do at some point while I was in high school. And I wanted to do it with a friend of mine. And, of course, we went down to the place, to the Army station, and we qualified, and they let us know that later. And they went to the parents, and they made their pitch, and we passed the physicals, and of course, then at the last time, he decided he didn't want to go under the buddy system with the U.S. Army at that time.
And you went in on your own, and I mentioned during the course of your military career, you served in Korea, Asia, West Germany. When you got out of the Army, talk about what you decided to do at that point. Your life was basically just beginning at that point. The Army was behind you. What did you do after you got out of the Army?
Well, I took some time off. I took a couple of weeks off when I got home. And then I got a job at a place called Wales. In Boston at that time, Rick, there were lots of jobs in Boston. And if you wanted a job, people could intern you at most anything.
Yes.
And eventually I got a job at Polaroid in Waltham in their maintenance department, and I was actually like a shareholder in Polaroid, you know.
Oh, yes.
And then finally, I got called at the post office, and I took a chance, and I worked as a mail handler in South Boston for a couple of years. And then I finally took the post carrier exam, and they sent us to a place called Newtonville. I came in under the Irish quota. In other words, what the intention was, you know, you'd work during the season, you know, and then you'd get, because transportation was awful getting out to the Newtonville there, and then your attendance would fall off, and then they could let you go. But I stuck with it, and a bunch of us stuck with it, and though we didn't have cars, we made up a couple of years, and then I eventually got transferred to Boston. And then I got, it was close to home, and then I thought I had a career.
You know, it's interesting. The book we're talking about by our guest on the program, an autobiography of Joe Edward Smith, is called The Life and Story of One-Eyed Joe Ed Smith. You decided to go back to school and get a degree. Talk about your motivation. You've got the job, and you went back to school. Why did you decide to go back to school, to go to school and get a degree?
Well, I knew I had the, Rick, I knew I had the GI Bill. And so one day I was delivering down Boston outside of, at the Franklin Institute of Boston. And I was in and out, you know. And they said, well, you know, if you ever want to use the can or you want to have a coffee in the cafeteria, yeah, it's okay with us, you know.
Yes.
There's a couple of guys, one Italian and one Hebrew guy, and says, hey, that sounds pretty good. So then I just knew I was going to be doing that route for a couple of weeks, so I planned it so I could, you know, spend a little time with a coffee. And then I heard these two gentlemen talking about what the eligible GIs weren't taking advantage of the system. And I kind of chimed in. I says, one of the reasons they don't take advantage of the system is they don't know how. And then the Italian guy says, well, they'd find out from me because I'd tell them how. Are you a veteran? And I said, yes.
Yep.
And then I was hooked. You know, they talked me into going there in prep for at nights for a year. And then later I got a scholarship to the day school, an Alfred P. Sloan scholarship, and I was hooked.
That's an amazing story. You get the degree. You're graduated from the University of Lowell. Talk about that and what you did after that, because your life just sort of moves along. You're helping more people. It's getting better as you go. Talk about what happened after you graduated from University of Lowell.
Okay, when I graduated from, after Franklin, I went up to Lowell, and Lowell was considered the poor man's MIT because it was run by the state of the Commonwealth of Mass.
Yes.
And so my first job out of there as a civil engineer with a Bachelor of Science was in the town of North Andover, Mass. And it was at a wastewater treatment plant that took care of the towns of Andover, North Andover, the city of Lawrence, and the city of Methuen. So I had my choice of picking a place to live, and I picked North Andover, and I've been there, been here ever since.
You know, it's amazing the love affair you have with North Andover. In fact, you call it the best thing that ever happened to you. Why do you love that city, North Andover, Massachusetts, so much? What was about it that was so welcoming to you that, you know, you chose it in the first place and then fell in love with North Andover?
Well, it was strategically located to the, like I say, my first job at the wastewater treatment plant, and I got to meet the people, and I got to meet the town clerk, who was quite a gentleman. His name was John Lyons. And I got to meet John Finneran, who ran a drugstore, and he was a character in town. He was an important guy. And when John Lyons died, the Knights of Columbus had a service at St. Michael's Church. And they were out in front, and I hadn't been to church in a long time. And while I declared when I went in the military I was Catholic, I really wasn't a Catholic. So I was a little reluctant about going inside for the service, but I waited outside when they brought John out, and bumped into one of the priests there, and he says, are you a member of the church? And I told him no, and he says, well, you might ought to be. So that was my introduction to St. Michael's
Church. It's just so many great stories like that, and stories that you can relate to depending on where you grew up. And it takes you back to, I almost want to say, a simpler time, and it wasn't necessarily, but go back and you look at that, and it's always good to go back and reflect. And there's so many ups and downs that that Joanne had in his life, so many more ups than downs, but how he handled it, where he is today, how he's got this this piece and decided to write the book, The Life and Story of One-Eyed Joanne Smith, an autobiography, book available at Amazon, the usual places. Joanne, a couple minutes left in the program. I know there have been some important people. You touched on a couple right there that have impacted your life over the years, family members, members of the community. Who are some of those that come to mind that really played an important part in your life?
Well, there's many. There were many, and of course my father. And, you know, he was, his name was Noah, but they used to call him Bubba. And he was he was stern and fair. And he always told us, you know, that, nobody's going to give you nothing. You're going to have to get out there. And
yes.
And of course, in North Andover, there was a Reverend Father Keyes and Paul Keyes, and he brought the new St. Michael's Church to North Andover, and he was a good friend of Mr. Perini, who was one of my bosses down Boston when I was working as a civil engineer. And of course, it was John Lyons. There was Father John and Father Jerry, and there were so many, many great people there.
Well, it's interesting.
Over in Boston. Yep.
Yeah, all of the people that had an influence in your life, and you bring them all out and talk about that. And the story, the life and story of One-Eyed Joanne Smith, an autobiography. A minute or so left here in the program. What's this been like for you, writing this book, sharing your story, maybe with friends and family, knowing things now about you they didn't know before they read the book? What's this been like for you?
Well, it's a pleasure, a joy. As you know, of course, nowadays I only have the one eye, so I can't do the things I used to do. I used to like to go fly airplanes and like to drive fast cars. So those days are over. I'm a member of the Local American Legion Post 219, and I'm a member of the VFW 2109, and of course I'm a member of St. Michael's Men's Prayer Group. We meet 7 a.m. On Saturday mornings for an hour, discuss the gospel coming that following day, Sunday, and I enjoy the family. We're a family of 15, and My mother's 100 years old.
Oh, amazing.
And she's still chairman of the board. And I got great cousins like Lucille Singleton and Charlie Singleton and so many others.
Well, what an amazing life that you've had and continue to have. It sounds like you are enjoying family, friends in your community during the retirement. Joanne, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. There's so much more in his book, The Life and Story of One-Eyed Joette Smith, an autobiography. Book available at all of the usual places. I'll send you to Amazon. In fact, we have the link for Amazon on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Joette, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Continue to enjoy your retirement. Our best to your 100-year-old mother. What a great family you've got. Thank you for sharing some of your life and your story with us on the program today.
Likewise, and it's a pleasure and a joy talking with you, Rick.
Well, Joette,
God bless.
It's thank you, and you as well. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. It's a story of a life journey of struggles and success, a heartwarming, inspirational story, the life and story of One-Eyed Joette Smith, an autobiography, book available at Amazon. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.